Well, we are now fully into summer break, which means one thing: sleep, rest, waking up at a reasonable hour. And the school year and the program year and the business year can be so long with all of the holiday parties and school commitments and traveling sports and early business meetings. And for so many of us, the summer holds such promise for catching up on life, on house projects and reading and, yes, sleep. Indeed, part of the appeal of summer is, I trust, like that of a nap, that we might wake up at the end of the summer feeling refreshed, that we might wake up to a new reality, to a cleaner, improved home, better tan lines, a stronger marriage, or more time with our loved ones, and sleep, lots of it. Sleep near the beach, in the hammock, on the dock, in the boat as it rocks to the slow rhythms of the undulating waves. But one cannot have sleeping without waking. The Pulitzer Prize-winning author Annie Dillard writes in her book of essays, Teaching a Stone to Talk, that essentially we teach our kids really only one thing, and that is to wake up. Of course, this demands also that they learn how to sleep. And evidence of this truth abounds on the internet with tips galore for getting children to sleep and wake properly. From toddler clocks that train our children like Pavlovian dogs, to parents trained in hostage negotiating skills just to get their teen out of bed, parents often live as zombies, deprived of sleep and seeking to negotiate with their children who seem to emerge from the womb with incredible negotiating skills. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. They don't seem to care too much for the prophet Isaiah. There is a sense in which we need to teach our children to sleep and wake up in other ways as well. Dillard notes that we have so mastered the transition as adults that we have forgotten that we ever learned it. We're like dolphins who live half our waking lives and all of our sleeping lives in some private, useless, and insensible waters we never mention or recall until someone hauls their wealth up to that surface and into the wide awake city in a form that people can use. Waking up to reality, to truly living with all that we are and all that we have, as Dillard writes, is like a dolphin that finally crests the surface of the sea into the flashes of the light of the sun. We see this today with Eli and Samuel. Samuel runs to Eli in the middle of the night like a child running to his parents' room. He's unsure about the voice in the silence. Or he is sure, and that's the problem. He's sure in the wrong way. I wonder if Eli the prophet felt like so many parents who just want to be left alone for five more minutes of sleep. And perhaps this is why it took him three times as well to rouse to the fact that it was God who was calling from the silence to Samuel. As is the case for all spiritual direction, only one who has heard the voice of God can lead others into true hearing as well. And so Samuel mistakes God's voice for Eli, but it is the call of parents and Christians and the church, like prophets, to point away from themselves to God, as Paul has reminded us today. Only one who has been baptized into the waves of silent darkness can see the light and point it out when it shines into the darkness. And so Eli instructs, Samuel listens, and he waits, again, in silence. All kids, all adults, for that matter, all of us, we have to be trained in waking up, and not merely from sleep. Like Lazarus in the tomb, we need to be roused by Jesus, who is our greatest hope. You see, the summer is, it's an opportunity to sleep and to learn how to wake up. To wake up to the joy of our friends and family, to the common grace found in fishing and puzzles and cocktails and fireflies. Creation, in other words, is sacramental, which means that everything we'll encounter this summer might be a vehicle for God to meet us. But even better, what if we learned to meet God anew this summer? What if we learned that? like Samuel. Perhaps the opportunity that awaits us in the silence of summer is to crest the surface of the omnipresent cultural noise so we might be truly present to those around us. Or perhaps the opportunity that awaits us in the sleep of summer is to crest the surface of the lie that if we stop earning or working or accomplishing, we will cease to matter. Or perhaps still the opportunity that awaits us in the waking of summer is to crest the surface of our normal horizons to actually see God's presence, breaking in like the sun, to learn like Samuel, to know the Lord, and to hear his voice. And so in another age, our day, when it seems that the word of the Lord is rare, it's my job and the job of the church of Christians to trust that the lamp of God has not yet gone out. Like Samuel, we and our children, we may not yet know the Lord as we should, but this God is always shining into our lives like the sun that is felt by a sun-kissed child on the beach. God's warmth is there, and we can learn to name it and to know it and to receive it as gift. Of course, this doesn't just happen, not without our own Eli, which raises the question, who is your Eli, and for whom are you a Samuel? I have to ask myself this often. In other words, who are you mentoring? Who is mentoring you? Whom are you discipling? Who is discipling you? This summer, find a mentor, be a mentee, ask your friend the harder, the deeper, the more vulnerable question. Be on both the receiving and the giving end of discipleship. Take seriously the responsibility to ground your children and your grandchildren in the faith, which will require a deeper faith of your own. Be mentored by Scripture. Learn to hear the voice of God speaking through it. Imagine yourself as a character in the narrative of the Bible, and let it waken you to the reality of grace and the saving work of Jesus on the cross. Vacation means for us that there is an opportunity to fill our space with something else. That is simply what it is, basically. And not just with the temporary goods of travel, as great as they are, but patterns of hearing and listening and seeing that will stick with us. Can you imagine, for instance, a child or a spouse or a friend recalling years from now, not only the moment that was shared on the dock or in the cabin, but the conversation that stuck, the encouragement that was shared, the wisdom that shapes them still. The word holiday, the Brits use that, us not as much. We use the word vacation, but it owes its origin to religious observance, to a holy day. It brings with it the sense that encounters with the sacred reduce us to inactivity. And such inactivity, I would suggest, might just be the holy prerequisite we need once again to hear the inbreaking voice of God or to be instructed by others to hear it. And so as we enter summer, don't forget to spend time waking up. By all means, enjoy the summer. Receive the gift of leisure. Bask in the sun. Spend time in the garden. Swim in the ocean. But take the time to ask good questions of your children or your spouse or your friends or yourself. Questions that matter. Take the time to listen for God's voice. Don't waste the opportunity to listen, to receive, and to give. Help others learn to wake up to reality, matters of eternal significance. In other words, sleep well, which is to say, sleep in such a way that you learn how to truly wake up to a deeper reality, that you might learn to say, with Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."